Well, good morning to you. Thank you for coming to be with us this morning at Collier Road Gospel Hall. You're very welcome. If this is your first time here, a special welcome to you. Please do hang around after this for some tea and coffee. We'd love to get to know you and have a bit of a chat. But before then, we're going to be continuing with our series that we've been doing here on Sunday mornings. So for the last, well, I don't know how long, couple of months, we have been thinking at Collier Row about great gospel words. Words that mean a lot to Christians. Words that are found in the Bible. Words that you'll often hear, perhaps in a church. And words that are of great importance. Words that it's really important we understand and we use correctly. And we've been going through for the last few weeks, haven't we? We've been thinking about things like repentance, things like salvation, things like eternal life. Well, this morning, we're going to be thinking about the word justification. Perhaps that's a word you've heard before, perhaps it isn't, but justification is what we're going to be thinking about, and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about justification. We're going to frame our thoughts around four questions this morning. We're first going to ask, what does justification mean? What's the definition? What does the word mean in this context? Excuse me. But then I'm going to ask why. Why do we need to justify? Why is it important we understand justification? Then we're going to ask ourselves, well, on what basis can we be justified? How can it happen? And then finally, if we've got a little bit of time at the end, we're going to think about, so what? So what? If we're justified, if justification is an experience that somebody goes through, so what? What does it matter? What does it mean in the life of the individual? So what does it mean? Why does it matter? How does it happen? And so what? What is the big deal? So that's really how we're going to go through justification. And we're going to be looking at the Bible, and we're going to be spending most of our time in the book of Romans, but we'll be looking at other places as well. Now, for any of you that have studied this subject before, you'll understand why we're looking at Romans. Part of me did consider just standing up here today and just reading the letter and sitting down. If you haven't done that before, highly recommend that you read the book of Romans through, as what you will see through the book and progressively through the author Paul as he writes out his letter, you will see this truth of justification being brought forward and built upon and coming to a head sort of near the middle of the book. But I'm not going to do that. We're going to do these questions this morning instead. So the first question we're going to ask then is, what does justification mean? What is this word? What does it mean? So I've been doing what I normally do when I'm asked, what does a word mean? I've Googled it. We live in 2023. So I Googled what justified and justification means. Now, justification really is a legal word. We're in the legal context. We're in the legal setting. It's a word a lot like things like sentence or condemned. Justified or justification describes a verdict. It describes a declaration. In the context of the Bible, when God justifies, when an individual experiences justification, God declares that person or pronounces that person to be righteous or to be right with him. When God condemns, which perhaps is another similar type of word, but the opposite. When God condemns, he pronounces a person guilty. That is the verdict before God of his standard. So justification is about God declaring in a sort of legal sense that a person is righteous. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. The legal or the moral standing of every single one of us before a holy and a righteous God. Getting right with God. Perhaps that's an expression that you've heard before, but really that's what justification is about. Justification is about getting right with God and being right before God. If it is the case that the verdict that God has for you is that he declares you righteous, you are justified by him, then we have promises in the Bible that come as a result. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 says this, says, and those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. following on from justification is this promise of glorification from God. But it is the case that if the verdict that God finds is not justification, it's not righteousness, but instead finds you to be guilty or to be unrighteous, and the verdict is condemnation, then that is a very serious situation indeed. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 says this: "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.'" And so this verdict, this pronouncement that God makes about every single individual, that's you and that's me here today, is of utmost importance. What will the verdict be? Will it be justification? Will it be declaring this person righteous? Or will it be condemnation and judgment? So with that sort of background that we've got then to the word justification and the legal standing, the moral standing, the declaration of God to the individual, let's ask the next question. Why do we need to be justified? Why is it important? And maybe we've seen it already in the definition, but why is it important that we need justification? And why does it matter? Now, turn with me, if you have a Bible, please, to Romans chapter 1. If you don't worry. I'll be reading out the various readings that we have this morning. But we're going to see that in order to understand justification, we must first understand what it is that we're standing accused of. We're talking about a legal setting. What is it that we're standing accused of, and what's the seriousness of that? Why is that important? So when we ask the question, why do we need to be justified? What we're going to say first is it's because we are guilty with respect to God's law, with respect to God's glory, and with respect to our own conscience. So we'll read from Romans chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 18, and then we'll jump forward a little bit from there. It says this, and I'm just going to read from the ESV this morning. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. But although they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now we'll jump to verse 29. Says this: "They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things." And we'll leave that there as our first reading this morning. Some very serious things that Paul starts his letter there in Romans with. Some very serious things that we're going to start our consideration this morning. We've read, haven't we, that mankind is under the wrath of God. We've read that mankind is under the wrath of God because mankind has knowingly and consciously rejected him in unrighteousness and in ungodliness. What a start that is. He makes it clear, Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, in the part that we just read, that no one, when I say mankind, I mean every single individual, is in that same position, and that no one has an excuse. But every single person, this is what Paul is saying there in Romans, every single person knows something of what is right and what is wrong before God, because God has created us a special creation. He's created us with a conscience, created us with a knowledge of him, and to some extent, every single person knows something of what is right before God and something of what is wrong. Now, I want to suggest to you that it doesn't matter what culture you come from, it doesn't matter what background, it doesn't matter what part of the world, everybody knows, for example, that murder is wrong. You'll struggle to find a society or culture that says that murder is not wrong, that slander or lying is wrong, that boasting is wrong, that evil is wrong. Why is it that we all, as humankind, as mankind, we know some of these things, don't we? Sort of deep down in our conscience. Well, the Bible tells us that we know this because God has created man in his image. We are a special creation. We have a unique privilege to be this special creation of God and to be representatives of God in that sense here on the earth. That's what we were created for. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God made us a special place in creation, and he gave us some knowledge and understanding. And yet, what have we done with that responsibility that we've been given? What were we reading in Romans 1 about the fact that God has created this amazing creation that shows us him, that shows us his glory, that reveals him to us? Well, we've thrown it back in the face of God and we've put ourselves under his wrath. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we're going to read this later. But the first half of it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, before we go any further, it'd be very easy to think, well, yes, there are people in the world who do awful things. And that list, as we went through in Romans, which really doesn't put any punches, does it? Sounds like some pretty awful people. That's not me. I'm not like that. I don't do these things. Perhaps we've had that thought. Well, that was the reason that we carried on reading into chapter 2. You see, Paul anticipates the fact that sometimes we can distance ourselves from mankind as a whole and say, well, I may be slightly different. He said to me, "Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment to another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things." We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice those things. And so this morning, I'd like us, obviously, throughout this little time we have together, but to be honest with ourselves and be honest with one another. When we think about our standing before God, we think about that legal setting. If we were standing before God as the judge, I want us to be honest and recognize in ourselves that we are not righteous before him. We are unrighteous. We as a group of mankind, but also on the individual level, we have gone from God. We have not lived righteously before him. And that is a problem because that places us in this position that we put ourselves in of under the wrath of God. So that's the first reason why justification is important. Why is it important that God's declaration towards us? Well, because we place ourselves and we have placed ourselves under the wrath of God, which, the second point, is something we should take seriously. It's not something that's small. We read already, didn't we, in Hebrews, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's not a small statement, and perhaps it's one that we maybe are aware of the significance of our position before God if we are not justified. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God because wrongdoing deserves punishment. And that means that we deserve punishment. Well, then what hope is there? What hope is there? If that is the case, if that's the position that mankind has put ourselves in, if that's what we're like as individuals, what hope is there? Well, justification is that word that's going to give us hope. And we're going to look at that now as we go through this morning. Justification. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. We'll read again later, but it says this. "Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." So we can be saved from the wrath of God that we've placed ourselves under by this process of justification, by this word. This word is so important because it helps us understand how we can have hope in this situation. So, why is justification important? Because we've placed ourselves under the wrath of God, because of what we've done, because of who we are, and that requires judgment. God's verdict is guilty, we deserve punishment. So the next question we have then is what or on what basis can we be justified? How can we get right with God in that sense? And really, this is how the argument progresses in Romans. So if you do go away and read it, you will see how this comes out through the letter. But one answer we could give to that question perhaps would be, well, how can I get right with God? Do the right thing. It could be by works. It could be that to get right with God, it's a simple case of mathematics. I must do more good than bad. I must have the scales tipped in the favour of the side of good. And if it is the case that I can do enough of the things that God wants me to do, then perhaps he will look at me and say, righteous. And I will be justified because of the things that I have done. Well, we're going to see that that's very much not the case. But it is a point of view that's very common. It's common in the world today. Many of the world's religions would claim that in order to be justified before God, in order to have any hope before God, you must do certain things. You must keep certain tenets. Maybe you pray five times a day. Maybe you read the scriptures. Maybe you celebrate certain feasts. You know, it was even the case that with God's people, Israel, the Jewish nation, that sort of point of view and that mindset was found amongst them. Now, perhaps the reason for that in some senses is because of this. You see, God had his special people, Israel, and God had delivered to them his law. Now, God, in doing so, had codified and had written down a series of things which told the Jewish people about God's righteousness, how he would have them to live as righteous people, things that he had asked them to do. But it was the case that in receiving God's law, many of his people understood that the purpose of the law was to bring about justification. That really, what the law that God has given, and that is recorded for us in the Old Testament, we have in the Bible, is some sort of checklist, some sort of mark scheme that says if you follow the law really closely, if you do everything that God asks, you will justify yourself before him. It will be your means of justification, and because you keep the law, God will declare you as righteous as a result, and you will experience justification. Well, what does Paul say about this in Romans? And this is going to be sort of the bulk of our text. So if you want to open your Bible to this part in Romans 3, this will be where we consider most of our things now. If God has given his law, is that meant to justify us before him if we keep it? And we'll read from verse 9, and it says this. But we've already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, or really what that means is both Jews and anyone who's not a Jew, are under sin. And that's what we've done this morning as well. We've already established that everybody is under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. So there we have it. You see, what we've just read is that the law was not given to justify man before God. But rather, the law was given to show man just how unrighteous and ungodly and unholy we are before him. We read that since through the law comes knowledge of sin. You know, by writing it down in that sense, by codifying it, by delivering that to mankind, mankind was then able to see just how far short we fall from God's perfect standards. If I ask you the question, how do you know that driving 100 miles an hour on the motorway is a bad thing. Well, we know it because it's codified. It's written down in the law. We have it somewhere to look at and say, oh, I've fallen short of that standard. I haven't met that mark. And this tells me how important that is. Well, it's a similar sense in this case. Because the law was given to mankind, it brings knowledge of sin. It highlights, it shows us something of the fact that we are so far from a holy God. Now, in order to then somehow use the law to justify, perhaps you might ask, well, maybe if you keep the law, if you keep all of it, then that is the case. James chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. It says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in just one point has become guilty of all of it. Even if you fail in just one point of the law, you become guilty of all of it. And then in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, and there's lots of other places you could have gone for this, says this, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. It's just not the intention. It's not the purpose that the law brings about justification, because you would have to keep the entire law, and that cannot be done. It has not been done by anyone save the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. That is not the purpose of the law, but rather it was given to give knowledge of sin. So, by what means can we be justified? Is it by works? Is it by keeping a standard? No, it's not. It never can be, and it never will be. But we can find in the scripture on what basis we can be justified. We're going to see that it's because of the blood of Christ. So if we carry on reading where we were in Romans chapter 3, we're now in verse 21. It says this, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Did you get it? There we have it. The righteousness of God is not to be found in keeping his law, but the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Let's keep reading. Paul goes on to say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then, what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Now I'll read to you as well another New Testament verse, Galatians 2, verse 16. Says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So let's play that back. What have we read? What have we heard? Well, we've heard quite clearly, we've already thought this, that by works of the law, no one will be justified. So it's important that we understand that. But we have read, and we have heard, that we can be justified by faith. That's what we've heard, and we've read it in different places. In fact, if you are able to go and to read the whole of Romans, you will find that justification, that the process of being declared righteous by God, has always been by faith. If you go right the way back to Abraham, and you see how Abraham and his relationship with God, you will see that Abraham had faith. And in chapter 4, verse 22 of Romans, it says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What that's really saying, in other words, is therefore God justified him. Because he had faith in God, he was justified. Now, what is faith? Faith is believing. Faith is trust and full assurance of believing God, believing what he says, believing that he has done what he says he has done. We were thinking this morning, weren't we, about the Lord Jesus, about his resurrection, about how he would say, as I have said. Well, faith is believing what God has said. So What can we have faith in? What should we put our faith in? What should we believe for our justification? Well, we've read it already in that passage. We can be justified by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus because of the price he has paid by his blood. Justification, the position, or the process by which God can declare a sinful person righteous, can be done on the basis of the redemption in Christ Jesus and the price he paid in his blood. We've read in Romans 3 that this is entirely consistent with God's justice. You see, sin, we've thought, requires punishment. Sin has been punished, and it's been punished, and the wrath of God has been dealt on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. I'm just going to read to you a few verses. Colossians 2, verse 13 says this. It says, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive, together with him, for he, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." You see, it's in the cross. It's in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in dying for the world, that we see that this record of debt that stood against us, we're back in the court, we're back in the legal language. The record of debt against us has been nailed to that cross if we put our faith in him. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him," that's Jesus, "to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." It is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the work that he did on the cross in becoming sin that we might know and might become the righteousness of God, justified. Finally, I want to read you from Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It says this: "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned, everyone, to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, that he shall bear their iniquities." You see, the death that the Lord Jesus died, the perfect Son of God, the obedient one, took the wrath for sin that there is, that we have built up for ourselves in that sense. He took that place. And as a result of that, and on the basis of that, and on faith in him, God can justly and rightly justify the sinner who comes in faith. He can say, righteous. Not because of the sinner, not because of us. Nothing in ourselves could ever work out to justification. But because of Christ Jesus. He and the work that he has done is so righteous that it can be imputed to us. That's a word that the King James Version uses. Can be reckoned to us. God can declare us to be righteous on association with him because of the work of his perfect Son, the Lord Jesus. And that is justification. That is the hope of the gospel. That's why we're here today. You too can be justified before God if you put your faith in Jesus. You see, he was not guilty. He had done no wrong. And yet, our guilt was accounted to him on the cross. Now, we are guilty. And yet, his righteousness can be accounted to us because of the cross. Isn't that incredible? That's justification. That's what we're talking about today. And 1 Corinthians 1, it says this: "Because of him, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." But it's, I'm just going to focus on a few words. Christ Jesus, who became to us righteousness. Now, Paul has laid this out in Romans. We can very easily, as human beings, try and work out our own righteousness, try and be good before God, try and do things so that we can try and claim some of our own righteousness. But that is not God's plan for salvation. That is not justification. Will not and can never happen. Jesus Christ is our righteousness for justification by imputation. Now, today is Easter Sunday, and many Christians in the world take today as a special opportunity to think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen. We thought about the fact that justification, it really, this is what I was saying in our hymn, it really has to do with his death on the cross. And that's the sort of major point at which we can claim justification, by his blood. But how do we know that what the Lord Jesus said that he did on the cross, which is what we're asked to put faith in, how do we know that that actually happened? What is the evidence? What is the confidence? Well, it is because he's risen. He said he would. He said he was going to go and become the sacrifice for sin, and he rose. And that is the evidence. The rubber stamp, if you like, that we can have a confident hope before God in our justifier. Romans 4, verse 21 to 25. We'll read that in just a second, because it takes us nicely into our so what. And I'm just going to read some of the Bible really to end. We've thought up to now, what is justification? It's about God's declaration of us before him. Are we condemned or are we justified? We've thought that we cannot be justified because of anything of ourselves, because of any work that we do. It will not amount to justification. But we have found that faith is the vehicle by which God justifies mankind. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the work that he has done. And now we say, well, so what? What does the person who's been justified, what does their life look like? And I'm just going to read through from Romans chapter 4, verse 21 through. Now, we'll notice in this passage, and I'll maybe just emphasize it, we'll notice about the resurrection, and that's important. And then we'll see what the experience of somebody who is justified is before God. It says this, we'll start from verse 21 of Romans 4. Says this, talking about Abraham. It says, and Abraham, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And just for time, I'm going to leave it there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We started our time this morning by thinking about the fact that we as mankind, we place ourselves under the wrath of God as enemies of him because of our own unrighteousness, because of our sin. But what do we learn here about justification? That because we have been justified, if we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, what we're talking about here is not the peace of God, which there's lots of other places in the Bible that tells about it, but peace with God. The battle between God and ourselves is finished. And God has won, and he's won us. We've read that we have a standing in grace. Because we are justified, because of our identification with Jesus Christ, because God can, because of our faith in him, declare us righteous, we have a standing in grace. God's undeserved favour towards us is found in salvation, but we are stood in it. We are there now if we are justified. And we live as those standing in the place of God's favour, unmerited, undeserved, not because of ourselves, but because of him. What a joy that is. And finally, we've read that we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because we are justified, you've experienced justification through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a hope. A hope of the glory of God, a hope that is not immaterial, a hope that is not uncertain, but a certain hope of an eternity with him, a hope of sins forgiven, a hope of a righteous standing before God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? And we'll end ourselves. Our Father and God, we do thank you this morning for this amazing truth that we've been able to consider. Father, we thank you that you, the Holy God, are able and willing and have worked out a way to justify us, sinful mankind. Father, we have gone so far from you, and Father, we acknowledge that before you this morning. Father, we so often fail and sin. Father, we know that you are aware of it. Father, we are too. But Father, we thank you that that despite this, Father, that by your grace, because you are gracious and loving and merciful, Father, you've provided a way that we might be forgiven, Father, that we might be justified, that we might have that standing before you, that you can declare us to be righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. Father, we thank you for him. Father, we thank you for the cost that it took to make us righteous and to make this way possible. Father, that we can be associated with his righteousness. It took the cross. Father, it took the worst that man could throw at him. But Father, too, the bread he became sin. Father, the wrath of God was poured out on him. Father, we thank you that you would do this to your son so that we might be relationship with you, and we just praise you for it. Father, we pray that you would encourage us. Father, if we are those that have experienced this justification, Father, we praise you. We pray that you would keep this front of mind as we go into our week. But Father, if there are any here, Father, that have not experienced the justification you offer, Father, we just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, Father, that you would speak to those that have put their faith and trust in you, and Father, that they might know what it means to be right with you, based work and person of the Lord Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen. Amen.
Yes.